This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Cross-cultural variations in emotional expression. Why the same emotion reads differently across cultures, and what to do about it. In short, cross-cultural variations in emotional expression are not about who feels more or less. They are about entirely different rules for how emotion gets shown, read, and respected. Getting this wrong in a conflict does not just cause offence, it derails the whole conversation before either party knows what happened. High-context cultures express emotion through restraint, silence, and indirect signals. Low-context cultures express it openly and explicitly. The same level of inner feeling can produce completely opposite outward behavior depending on a person's cultural background. Emotional control in cross-cultural conflict means managing your own reactions to unfamiliar emotional styles, not just managing your feelings about the issue itself. Definition: cross-cultural variations in emotional expression refers to the systematic differences in how people from distinct cultural backgrounds display, suppress, and interpret emotion. These differences are governed by cultural norms, not individual personality, and they shape every stage of conflict, from how it starts to whether it ever gets resolved. Why cultural wires cross in conflict. A colleague of mine spent 3 years managing a team spread across Seoul, Amsterdam, and Lagos. Brilliant people. Real respect for each other. But every time tension arose, the same pattern appeared. The Dutch team member would name the problem directly, voice raised slightly, clearly frustrated. The Korean team member would go quiet, give a single measured response, and fall silent. The Nigerian team member would speak with warmth and force, using story and emphasis to make the point. And every single one of them walked away from those exchanges convinced that others were being difficult. Not one of them was. They were each expressing the same frustration through a completely different emotional vocabulary. That is the core problem with cross-cultural variations in emotional expression in conflict. The feeling is shared, but the display rules are not. And when you do not understand someone's display rules, you misread everything they do. Understanding psychological safety in teams is one foundation for this kind of work, but cultural emotional differences add a layer that safety alone cannot fix. High-context emotional expression. What it looks like in practice. In high-context cultures, emotion is embedded in the space around the words rather than in the words themselves. Japan, South Korea, much of the Middle East and East Asia, and many indigenous cultures around the world share this orientation. The emotional signal is in the pose, the slight shift in posture, the way eye contact is held or withdrawn. Restraint is not suppression here. It is a form of respect. Showing strong emotion openly can be read as a loss of self-control, an imposition on others, or a sign of immaturity. The person sitting perfectly still while you raise your voice is not cold. They are, in their frame, being extraordinarily considerate. In conflict, high-context communicators will often seek to preserve the relationship above the resolution. Silence may mean deep thought, or it may mean they have already decided, but cannot say so directly. Learning to read these signals takes time, patience, and a real willingness to ask questions rather than assume. Low-context emotional expression. What it looks like in practice. Low-context cultures, broadly including much of Northern and Western Europe, North America, and Australia, operate on different ground entirely. Emotion is expressed directly, verbally, and with visible energy. Saying what you feel is honest. Hiding it is suspicious. In a conflict, a low-context communicator will often name the problem, say how it made them feel, and expect a direct response. Silence from the other side does not read as thoughtful. It reads as evasive. Measured calm does not read as respectful. It reads as disengaged or passive-aggressive. This directness is not aggression. It is clarity. In low-context cultures, the relationship is actually strengthened by the willingness to work through conflict openly. The storm clears, and the ground is firmer afterward. The trouble begins when these two styles meet without any shared map. Side by side, where the styles diverge. Dimension: high-context expression, low-context expression. Primary channel: nonverbal cues, tone, silence, verbal, explicit, direct. Emotional display in conflict: restrained, composed, indirect, open, energetic, named aloud. Silence in disagreement, often meaningful, may signal thought or resistance, often uncomfortable. Read as avoidance. Goal during conflict: preserve the relationship and face resolve the issue clearly and quickly. Physical intensity low. Stillness signals control moderate to high. Energy signals engagement. Apology and repair often implicit. Through action or gesture, explicit verbal acknowledgement expected. Risk of misreading. Restraint read as coldness or deception. Directness read as aggression or disrespect. The table gives you the shape of the difference. But the real danger lies in the last row. When a high-context person falls quiet in conflict, a low-context person tends to fill that silence with urgency, escalating their own emotional energy to close the gap they perceive. The high-context person reads that escalation as confirmation that the conversation is unsafe. They retreat further. The low-context person reads that retreat as stonewalling. Within minutes, both people are convinced the other is hostile, when in reality they are each responding logically to signals they were trained by their own culture to send and receive. Recognizing this loop is the first practical step toward breaking it. This is why emotional intelligence as a foundation for team connection matters so much. Without it, cultural differences in emotional style become fault lines rather than features. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where the two styles genuinely overlap. Here is something worth knowing. Every human culture has both direct and indirect emotional moments. The distinction is not absolute. A Japanese manager will express frustration directly when safety is at stake. An American professional will go quiet when they are genuinely hurt. The overlap lies in the underlying need. Both high-context and low-context emotional styles are trying to do the same thing, protect the relationship while addressing the problem. They simply have different theories about which comes first. When you hold that truth, you stop treating the other person's style as a problem to overcome and start treating it as information to work with. Empathy bridges and team communication are the practical tool for working in this overlap zone. They do not require you to abandon your natural style. They require you to slow down your interpretation of the other person's style long enough to find common ground. Three ways people get this wrong. 1. Treating emotional restraint as a lack of engagement. The mistake. You read silence or calm as indifference, and you push harder to get a reaction. Why it happens? Low-context cultures use emotional energy as a social signal that the person cares. When that signal is absent, the brain interprets it as disengagement. What to do instead? Ask a direct, open question. I want to understand where you are on this, and then give genuine space for the answer. Resist the urge to fill the silence yourself. 2. Treating directness as a personal attack. The mistake. You interpret a low-context colleague's candid frustration as aggression, and shut down or escalate in response. Why it happens? In high-context cultures, that level of open emotional expression signals that something has broken down badly. It reads as an attack on your dignity. What to do instead? Slow your interpretation. Ask yourself whether the directness is cultural before you decide it is hostile. Name what you heard without matching that emotional temperature. I hear that this is urgent for you. 3. Assuming your emotional style is neutral. The mistake. You believe you are simply being clear or simply being respectful, and any problem must be the other person's sensitivity or coldness. Why it happens? Your own emotional style is invisible to you. You have practiced it every day of your life. It feels like the natural way humans communicate. What to do instead? Treat your own style as one option among many. That single shift builds more trust in cross-cultural conflict in any communication technique I have come across. Signs that emotional hijack is damaging your team are often rooted in exactly these misreadings. One person's cultural default triggers another person's threat response, and the whole thing escalates from there. Keeping your own emotions in check when styles clash. This is where emotional control becomes the core skill rather than a supporting one. You can understand every cultural difference in this article and still blow the conversation if your own emotional reaction to an unfamiliar style takes over. I have done exactly that. Spent decades learning this work, and I still remember sitting across from a colleague whose quiet composure I read as contempt. I escalated my language, pressed harder, and only realized later that I was responding to a phantom. He was simply from a culture that handled conflict through stillness. I handed him all the power in that room and walked away feeling like I've failed. The practical method is this: before you interpret, pause and name the question internally. Ask yourself, is this person's emotional tone a cultural default or a response to something I have done? That one question, held for even 5 seconds, creates enough distance between stimulus and response to choose a better path. The skill is not the absence of reaction. The skill is the gap between the reaction and the response. Giving feedback that strengthens rather than fractures team trust follows the same principle. Your delivery must be calibrated to the receiver, not just to your own sense of what clear communication looks like. When repair is needed after a cultural misread. Sometimes you get it wrong before you understand what happened. The conversation ends badly. Trust is damaged. Someone leaves the room feeling dismissed or attacked, and you are not entirely sure how. The repair matters as much as the prevention. A direct verbal apology lands well in low-context cultures. Name what you did, own it without qualification, and commit to change. In high-context cultures, the repair often works better through action over a series of interactions. Consistency, attention, a small gesture of consideration. Speaking to how to apologize in a way that actually restores trust is a whole subject of its own, and the cultural dimension is central to it. Psychological safety that sustains honest communication provides the long-term container for this kind of repair. Without it, one bad cross-cultural conflict can permanently raise every person's guard in the room. What to actually do before the next difficult conversation? You do not need to become an anthropologist. You need 3 habits. First, before any high-stakes conversation across a cultural difference, take 30 seconds to consider what emotional style the other person has shown you in the past. Not a stereotype of their nationality, their personal pattern. People are always more than their culture of origin. Second, in the conversation itself, name your own emotional state simply and without drama. I want to be straight with you. I'm finding this difficult gives the other person information without pressure. It models a kind of directness that leaves room for the response in whatever form it takes. Third, after the conversation, reflect on what you read and whether you read it correctly. The best practitioners of cross-cultural emotional expression are not the ones who always get it right. They are the ones who review their misreadings honestly and adjust. Understanding cross-cultural variations in emotional expression is ultimately an act of respect. The decision to take seriously that someone else's emotional world might be structured differently from yours, and that difference is worth your full attention. Frequently asked questions. What are cross-cultural variations in emotional expression? Cross-cultural variations in emotional expression are the differences in how people from distinct cultural backgrounds show, suppress, or interpret feelings. Some cultures value open expressiveness, others prioritize restraint. These differences frequently cause misunderstanding in cross-cultural conflict situations. How do emotional expression cultures affect conflict resolution? When people from different emotional expression cultures clash, they often misread each other. One person reads silence as hostility, the other reads raised voices as aggression. Closing this gap requires self-awareness, emotional control, and a genuine curiosity about the other person's cultural norms. What is the difference between high-context and low-context emotional expression? High-context cultures communicate emotions indirectly, relying on tone, silence, and nonverbal cues. Low-context cultures express feelings directly and explicitly. Neither style is superior, but the mismatch between them is one of the most common sources of cross-cultural conflict in workplaces and teams. How do you manage your own emotions during a cross-cultural conflict? Start by pausing before you interpret. Ask yourself whether the other person's emotional tone is a cultural default rather than a personal attack. Use slow, deliberate language, name your own feelings calmly, and give the other person space to respond in their own way without rushing them. Why does emotional restraint get misread as coldness in cross-cultural settings? People from expressive cultures use emotional energy as a signal of engagement and respect. When they encounter restraint, they read the absence of visible emotion as disinterest or hostility. This misreading is one of the most damaging patterns in cross-cultural emotional expression conflicts. Can you learn to adapt your emotional expression style across cultures? Yes, and it starts with observation rather than imitation. You do not need to abandon your natural style. You need to expand your range, slow down your interpretations, and build enough cultural intelligence to recognize when a difference in emotional tone is cultural rather than personal. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, The best-selling books they write every time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.